We're learning the Parashat HaShavua. Just say a few words on Parashat Pinehas, which of course our Parashah is the sequel of last week's Parashah. At the end of last week's Parashah, we learn about the sinister plot that Bil'am gave to Balak. Although he failed miserably when it came to cursing the people, he was very successful, unfortunately, at his advice when he told Balak that the God of the Jews hates immorality. So if you can get them to fall to immorality, then the curse will come by itself. You know, you don't got to curse them, it'll happen by itself. And that's exactly what happened. It got so bad that it says one of the tribal leaders, Zimri ben Salu, actually took a Midianit, he took a Goya. She actually was the daughter of Tzur. So she's one of the princesses. And the Gemara says, look how much the Sha'im these guys are. They're willing to give up their daughters in order to trip up Bnei Yisrael. The guy will sacrifice his daughter's purity just in order to get Klal Yisrael. And the Torah says that there were five kings. One of them was Tzur. The Targum Yonatan ben Uziel says, "Veshem Aisha Mukam Medarit Kozbi Batzur, Rosh Umot Bet Av BeMidyanhu." He was the Rosh. Rashi says, "Hamisha Bate Avot Ayu LeMidyan." There was five families in Midyan. Who are the five families? Ephah, Epher, Hanoch, Abida, Elda'a. So the Targum says, "Veshum iteta kiteta midyanita kozbi berat sur, kozbi batsur demitkarya shelonae." Okay, he gives us her real name. Her real name was Shlonae. Berat Balak. Oh, so she was the daughter of Balak, according to Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. Berat Balak. So yimach shemo, Balak himself gave his own daughter in order to get Bnei Yisrael. Berat Balak.
Balak
is Tzur? Balak? Yes, Balak is Tzur. Exactly. Tzur is Balak, according to Targum Yonatan. So anyway, so the Pasuk says, he went, le'enei kol adat Bnei Yisrael, ve'hem abuchim petach oel moed. So it says, and Bnei Yisrael were bochim, they were crying. So if you look at the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel on this, it says, "Ve'inun bachyan ve'karyan shema." Oh, so they were crying and they were reading the Shema. That's Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. But it was the Zman of Kiryat Shema. If it was the Zman of Kiryat Shema, so then you don't have to tell me they've said the Shema. I assume they prayed. They also said the Amidah then. There was Yishem that day. I don't know if it was Yom HaAtzmaut. If it was Yom HaAtzmaut, they said Yishem also. They said Halel. But the question is, what does the Targum have to come and tell me that they're reading the Kiryat Shema? Fine. Vayar Pinehas. Pinehas saw something. Although it doesn't tell us what he saw. Vayar, he saw something. Ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Vayakom mitoch ha'eda, so he rises amongst the people. Vayikach romach biyado, he takes the romach biyado. He takes the sword or the spear in his hand. I'm glad you told me that, because I thought he took it with his mouth. So the Torah tell me, don't think he took it with his mouth. He took it with his hand, because normally how do you take a sword with your mouth? What do you took it? What is the pasuk of the Tami romach biyado? Every word is extra in the Torah. Every word is measured. So v'yikach romach. What is v'yikach romach biyado? Fine. Anyway, he goes in. He does what he has to do. V'ta'atzar ha'magifah. The magifah stops.
And then in the beginning of the parasha, it says the Jewish people started to have claims against Pinehas. Rashi says in the beginning of the parasha, "Lefi shayu ha-shevatim mebazim oto." Unbelievable. From here you learn, Rabotai, that working for the Sibur is a thankless job. Take it from somebody that works for the Sibur. You know, Pinehas is sacrificing himself for the people. Man is putting himself at risk. He risked his life for the people. He doesn't get paid for this. He's a volunteer, by the way. It's not like that's not on his pay. You know, and he's not getting wages for this. He does this on his own. Pinehas, by the way, has a wife and children. By the way, he's willing to sacrifice all that, puts himself in danger, willing to die. Happens to stop a magefa. And what are the people's reaction? Bevazimoto. They come along and say, well, who's this? Who's Pinehas to come along and do what he did? Which comes and teaches us over here that people by nature are jealous and they don't want to see somebody else succeed or somebody do something that's, successful. So right away they'll find something wrong with what he did. Yeah, he did a good thing, but you know who his grandfather was? His grandfather was Yitro. The guy was bringing Agalim Na'avodah Zarah. Okay, so I don't know if he was the right guy to do it. You know, after all, Moshe was there. And Moshe was there. I mean, the man sees his Rebbe, Moshe is there, and he goes and does it for Moshe, the grandson of Yitro. So they had to already minimize his action, which is the nature of people. They like to, to find fault in what they're doing. Although the Torah comes along and says, no. You know, one time I was with Rabbi Tetyahu Solomon. May he live and be well, if I should have. And we were on a trip. We went to Azerbaijan, the border of Iran. We went there to help some needy Jews in that region over there. So we were on the bus traveling to one of the places. So he said, Rabbi Mansour, you want to hear what I told the boys in Lakewood last week? I said, yeah, of course. I hear it live from the Rosh Hashiva, from the Mashgiach. It was right after the Rosh Hashiva of the Mir Yeshiva passed away. The Rosh Hashiva Mir Yeshiva, his name was Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel will go down in history in the modern time as the biggest Rosh Yeshiva, biggest in the sense of most students. The Mir Yeshiva, when he was the Rosh Yeshiva, had like 7,000 or 8,000 students. I mean, just think of a yeshiva that's 7,000 or 8,000 students. So he wanted to know what zechut did this man have to be the Rosh Yeshiva in modern time of the biggest yeshiva since probably Sudan Pumpedita. That was one of the Tzal's question. Did anybody ever see Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel? I met him a few times. The first time I met him, it was just take it with a grain of salt what I'm going to tell you. It was Super Bowl Sunday. I'll tell you why I remember. Not because I watched the Super Bowl. I don't even have a TV in my house. But I was sitting Ben Asdarim. It was in between the break on Sunday. I go to Kollel on Sundays. That's before Magen David took away Sunday school. So we had still Sunday school. So in the afternoon, I'm sitting on my porch. And all of a sudden, a big, what is it called? Like these trailers. An RV, exactly. Big RV pulls in front of the house. These guys, I thought it's from South Carolina. Some bunch of drunkards coming. All of a sudden, a black hat guy gets off the bus and says, you Rabbi Mansour? Said, yes. Get in the RV. They're going to abduct me. So anyway, but I saw that everything was okay. So I get on the thing. I see a rabbi lying there on the couch, lying out, and his hands shaking like this. So what is this? Who's this rabbi? This is Rabbi Nosson Tzvi Finkel, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva. He said, don't mind his shaking. He has severe Parkinson's disease, and he cannot, stop his body from shaking. And his legs are shaking, and he's convulsing back and forth. He said, but don't worry, his head is 1,000% there. We wanted you to meet the Rosh Yeshiva. Maybe you could take us to some of your friends in Brooklyn We can get some donations for the mir. So, okay, it's not a bad idea. So I remember because I went to a couple of guys' houses and they were watching the Super Bowl. That's what I remember. I said, now you're telling us now? So they just wanted to get rid of him. Here's the money. We're watching the Super Bowl. Hey, take all the money over there. Leave us alone. Now's the worst time to interrupt us. It was a good time for the rabbi because they just... and then one guy said, if I win the game, I'll give Hamasir from the winnings of the Super Bowl to the Rosh Hashiva. Anyway, so I was talking to the Rosh Hashiva and learning. He said, what are you learning? I told him I was learning Baba Metzia at the time. Oh, which daf are you on? Oh, the Rosh Hashiva, how'd you learn this Tosfot? Bingo, bingo. He zapped into the Tosfot, into a nitty gritty of the Tosfot, into a nitty gritty of it. The Maharsha said this, Maharsha said, he asked me what I'm learning. What are they learning in yeshiva? No, yeshiva we're learning Gittin. So his head is in Gittin. But the Rosh Hashiva, he has the yeshiva shemasechtot to have it on the fingertips. They said that when Acham Ezra Atiya, alav shalom, before he was passing away, so he doesn't want to stop learning. So the boys came into Acham Ezra Atiya, and they're just reading him the Gemariot, and he's just listening to the Gemariot, and they're reading. But they said, whenever they got to the Yeshiva Shemasechtas, he says, read it a little slower. Because those are the Yeshiva so he gave Shi'urim on. So he was... read a little slower. He was ma'ayin a little more. So anyway, these masechtot he has on his fingertips. But I was amazed. How can this man be a Rosh Hashiva? How does he give shi'ud? Like this. He put him in a chair and he's shaking and he's... You felt so bad for the guy. I said, how can this... It's possible, but he's functioning is the way it is. So Rav Matityahu said, you know why he became the Rosh biggest Hashiva in the world? Because nobody was jealous of him. He said, nobody was jealous of him. He said, look what can happen when there's no ayin hara on a person. If there's no ayin hara on a person, the guy can become... He says, why do people get sick? And why do people fall? And why? Because everybody's looking at the guy. Ah, what's this guy doing? Who's he to make so much money? Ah, what are you doing over here? He has all these beautiful children. Why is this guy making so much party? What is this guy doing? And when does that happen? People get zapped from the ayin hara of the people. He said, but nobody wished to be this man. Once you're free from the kid'ah and the ayin hara of the people, you only have good things. When you mention this is free fiqh, what everybody say? Hazit. Good luck to him. I don't want to have anything to do with him. Nobody had anything bad to say because nobody wished his life on anybody else or on themselves. That's an amazing, in Yiddish they said, daher. It's a deep, I think, to hear. So anyway, I told it to them. When I had the Rosh Hashiva's son was there, and the Rosh Hashiva's wife came to my house once. So I said to the Rosh Hashiva's wife, I said, Rav Nosson Svifinkel's wife, I said, can I tell you what Rav Matityahu said? I don't want to offend anybody, but that's what he said, I want to hear. So I said to her, she said, 1,000%. She says, nobody was jealous of my husband. He could have had 50,000 guys in the yeshiva. Nobody ever looked at my husband with a bad eye because of his disease. So sometimes the weakness is the success. So what does that tell you? So a person, Pinhas didn't have Parkinson's. Pinhas was a gibor. Pinhas was a solid guy. Grandson of Aaron HaKohen, all the who's going for him. He's got all the strength going from 12 miracles that Targum Yonatan lists. 12 miracles that happened when he went into the, when he went in. Number one, the fact that he was able to get them right in the spot. The Kuba, and they didn't die because he at that point he had the status of a Kohen already, some say. Therefore, he would become Tameh, so they couldn't die until they got him out. The knife didn't break. You take two people, you put them on a knife. Sometimes you go to a restaurant, you cut the knife, breaks on the steak because they made it too hard. And that's a metal knife. Here, he takes a Romach, two Jashim, what's his name? Zimri and Kozbi. And what happens? The knife remains solid. That's better than a Ginsu. The knife didn't even break. And then what? How did he get them out? How did he get them out? How did he carry them in one hand? How did he get them out? It says the tent lifted so he can bring them out. They didn't bleed. There was no blood. Otherwise he would become Tameh from the blood. Nobody killed him. They would have lynched him. This is the father of the family. They're all watching. Nobody was able to do anything. Look at the Targum. There's 12 miracles over there. So what? You see a guy like that. What happens? And he saved your life. He saved your life. And what's their claim? Bebazimoto. Nah. Who does he think he's doing it? What does he think? They found a flaw. They found something wrong. This is a human nature. Rabbi Hatam Sofer came along and said, a famous ma'amar, he said, no good deed goes unpunished. No good deed goes unpunished. Which means you'll do something very good for the Sibur, you'll do something very good for the Kahal, and what are they going to do? They'll shamble you. They're going to get you. The other night, Ike Franco, the Sadiq, you saw the Ulam, he built the shul. He built the shul with his own money. He built the shul with his own volunteer. He didn't get paid to build the shul. He paid money to build the shul. Every square inch of the shul, he made a decision on. That means, you see this light bulb, he sat one day and said, yeah, put that light bulb 16 inches from the... Every decision was his decision. The guy deserves a Chazak Baruch? Of course. Now we had a blackout for one day. What does everybody say? He didn't put a generator. He didn't put a generator. $15 million building. He didn't put a as if the guy... They found it. They got him. They got him. All the jealous eyes, all the people that come along that they can't stand that somebody did something good. By the way, they get caught. Man. You see that? I miss it. Deal shul. They have a generator. And they don't have a clear what we have over here. And he missed it. Ah, you see that? I knew it. They got him. Poor guy. Leave him alone. Let the guy. So this is the nature of human beings. No, but they can't wait to find the imperfection. And the bezot to find the imperfection. This is a very bad midah. The guy did something good. So leave it. And even if it's a mistake, leave it. Not you have to make the big noise about it to go point it out. They should have made him a testimonial dinner. They should have said, tomorrow night, everybody's welcome to the Waldorf Astoria, to the atrium, and we're going to have a testimonial dinner for Pinchas. I'm going to give him a lifetime honorary chairman of Klal Yisrael. Instead, what? They invited him to be Mezehim. Who the heck do you think you are? Who do you think? So the Hatam Sofer said, Klal, he says, Biadua, you're going to work for the Sibur. He said, they're going to throw stones at you. That's a fact. Just have to pray that they're small stones. That the stones are not big stones that they're going to kill you with, but they're going to throw stones at you. That's already a klal. One time, the presidents of one of the congregations was walking in the street, and the guy says, Mr. So-and-so, are you the president of the yeshiva? Here he goes again. He says, yes. Now he's waiting for the guy to unload the sahkil alot from Parashat Kitavo on the guy. So he tells, I just want to let you know, my son's in the school, and you're doing a great job. The kid came home, the guy said, oh, stop. Baruch, shehayana, v'kiyamana, v'yana, v'lazimana, zeh. He said, I don't know, after this, if I make a shivu malchut, this never happened before. And then he said, Baruch, she'asali nez, v'makom hazeh. A miracle in this place over here, that somebody came and complimented my job as the president of the yeshiva. He said, I'm doing this for 4 years. Nobody ever came. They come and tell me there's no tissues in the bathroom. The door was locked. The light wasn't on. The air conditioning didn't work. Oh, the one jaraz, they told me. No one ever came to thank you that we have a yeshiva, that I'm collecting money for the yeshiva. I'm paying the teachers. I'm giving my time. I'm not getting paid to be the president of the yeshiva. It's a volunteer job. It's a selfless job. But what? Shevatim mevazim. That's the nature of people that they come to mevazim. That's the kin'ah. So one has to be very, very, very careful not to fall into that. Now you shouldn't be deterred to do chesed either, but you have to know that that's part of the tikkun. That's why it says there's four people that are, all the avirot are forgiven. One of them is somebody that's elected the nasi over the sibur. Why does he get his avirot forgiven? Because with the nisiut comes bizyonot. Those bizyonot automatically are going to be mechaper on the guy. Just like it says hatan. Hatan also gets bizyonot from his wife. So therefore also the hatan, it says, is forgiven for his mother-in-law also. So therefore between both of them, he gets tikkun. But the nasi, he gets kapara for that. So that's part of the job. Anyway, that's just a side note. Anyway, here it says that after they were mebazehim, why should they mebazehim? Man, take away the jealousy. What do you want to mebazeh the guy for? The guy did a good thing. So, we explain like this. Bnei Yisrael, when they saw this perpetrator, Zimri ben Salu, doing what he was doing, Bnei Yisrael by nature are kana'im. All Jewish people by nature, they don't like to see injustice. Now, whether they're kana'im to the extent that they're willing to go kill somebody and put their life in danger, but even today, even you see Jewish people, they're the ones that are defending the abid. You know, they're the ones that are always defending the impoverished and all the liberal guys. So it's a form of kana'ut. It might be misguided kana'ut, I don't say no, but it bothers the Jew more than the next guy when there's an injustice in the world. He's the first one screaming, how come this is not happening? How come they're mistreating that person? How come that person... Now, in Klal Yisrael, when they saw Zimri do what he did, it agitated a lot of people, by the way. It agitated a lot of... Not only Pinhas, you know, Pinhas, the only one it bothered. It bothered probably all of Klal Yisrael. So what happened? So Klal Yisrael, they said, we got to do something over here. We have to be Moser Nefesh. So what did they start to do? Where is the Pasuk in the Torah that teaches us that you have to be willing to give up your life for Kadosh Baruch Hu? Shema Yisrael. So they start, Shema Yisrael, Vehem Abuchim, the Mishpechotav. The Targum says, Karyan Kiryat Shema. They were preparing themselves now for this mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, Lamut al Kiddush Shemo. Because even Pinhas didn't know he's going to come back alive. He said, I'll go in, kill me, but at least I'll get Zimri and the Magifah will stop. So they start, but guess what? With all their reading and with all their kavanot, couldn't do it. It's not so easy. You know, it's easy to make a Kiddush Hashem virtually in your head. Where you read, Bechol Nafshecha, Afidu Hu Noten Nafshecha, Haki Balash. Here you have a chance now to go do it. Well, to their credit, they only were able to have the Kavanah, but they weren't really able to go do it. All of a sudden, what happens? The Pasuk writes, Vayakum Ish Mitoch Ha'edah. All of a sudden, they see Pinhas, and he rises up amongst the people, amongst all those guys that were saying the Kiryat Shema. All of a sudden, Pinhas rises up. So they said, wait. Pinhas did the action. It's true. But we had the Kavanah. It's our Kavanah of the Kiryat Shema that gave Pinhas the ability to do it. Because there's no way Pinhas had the right Kavanot. Because Pinhas comes from Putizeh. He comes from Yitro that brought Avodah Zarah. Who's this guy? He thinks he's going to come along and think he did it. He only did it because of us. If it wasn't for our Kavanah that we had, the Gemara says, Machshava Tova, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitztarfa LeMa'aseh. The simple interpretation is that if a person has a Machshava Tova to do a mitzvah, God will consider it as if he did the ma'aseh. If I have a machshava to go to synagogue in the morning, but for whatever reason I couldn't go, God says, we'll give you credit. But the Hasidim write different on this. They say, the Noam Elimelech says this. What is he machshava tova mitzarfa lema'aseh? It doesn't say machshava tova ki'ilu ze ma'aseh. It says mitzarfa lema'aseh. God takes the machshava and is mitzarefet. He joins it to a ma'aseh. So Noam Elimelech says, you have two people. One guy has tremendous kavanah, but he doesn't do the mitzvah. Another guy does the mitzvah, but he has no kavanah. So what does God do? Machshava tova mitzarfa lema'aseh. He makes a shidduch. So now you have a perfect mitzvah. Between his kavanah and his ma'aseh, you have a perfect mitzvah. And that's what he explained the Gemara that says, Le'olam yasok adam b'tura mitzvot shelo lishma. Shemitok shelo lishma, ba lishma. Now what does it mean, shelo lishma, ba lishma? So he learned that sometimes you have a guy that's doing a mitzvah, shelo lishma. However, another guy has kavanah, but he wasn't able to actually do the mitzvah. So he says, shemitok shelo lishma, ba lishma. The lo lishma and the lishma come together, and they have a perfect mitzvah. The shelo lishma is the guy who did it, but he didn't do it kavanah. Shemitok shelo lishma, ba lishma. It comes to the guy who had kavanah. So sometimes you need a combination of two. So here they came along to Pinhas. They said, yeah, Pinhas did it. Pinhas is zealot. Pinhas is a hothead. He's a hothead. He says, you think he came along and did it? Who had the kavanah over here? Who was the neshama of this mitzvah? Us, our kriyat shema. And that's why the pasuk says, vayakom mitoch ha'edah. The people came along. He's only coming from us. Mitoch ha'edah. He's coming from our strength. So therefore, he doesn't deserve so much so much credit over there. We're giving him so much kavod over here. So the pasuk comes along and says, and the next parasha, hold it. He didn't need you. Pinehas, Pinehazad, Pinehar Kohen, Heshivit Rabbi Mamma Yisrael, Bekano et Kenati Betocham, Velo Chiliti. Now Rashi says, it's Miyachesim to the father's side, not to the mother's side, Yitro. His grandfather was Aharon, HaKohen, and therefore he was 100% Hashem Shamayim. He didn't need your Kavanah, and therefore you're wrong. You mebazem to think as if he needed you. He didn't need you at all. Therefore, the Pasuk comes along and says that Pinehas earned it on his own right. What happens with Pinehas? Pinehas comes to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, what's the law? He says, the law is, kol ha-bo'el aramit, kana'im pog'im bo. That if you see somebody that's bo'el aramit, if you're a kanai, they go do it. Okay, so then Pinehas tells Moshe, bechavod. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, thank you. Karyana de igarta iu levi parvanka. The one that brought the news, he should be the one that executes. Fine. He goes, he does the action. So the pasuk says, Lachen emor, hinini noten lo beriti shalom, amargim beriti shalom. So the Gemara comes along and says on this, bedinhu sheyekabel secharo. Bedinhu. Which means, he earned it. Of course he earned it. I mean, if he doesn't deserve a reward, then nobody deserves a reward, by the way. I mean, Hashem's telling me he was Hashem Shamayim. He didn't need the Kavanot of Klal Yisrael. He didn't need that. He did it. Hashem Shamayim. He didn't need a Tziruf. He didn't need a Kiryat Shema. That's why the Pasuk says, by the way, Klal Yisrael had the Machshava, but who had the Ma'aseh? Pinehas. Not only did he have the Ma'aseh, but he also had the Kavanah. How do we know? How many words do we have in Kiryat Shema? 248. That's Otiyot Romach. Vayikach Romach biyado. He took the Romach in action. That's what it means. He took what they were mechavening. Vayikach Romach biyado. He had the kavanah of the Romach. They said, we had the kavanah of the Romach, and you just did the action. No, he took the Romach biyado. He took the kavanah of the Ramach, words of the Kiryat Shema, of the Mesirut Nefesh, and he did it in an action. That's the Pshat Vayikach Romach Biyado. Anyway, so God says, Bedinu Sheyitel Secharo. He deserves the reward. You got to give him the reward. Which was Bedin. Of course, Bedin. If he doesn't deserve reward, Rabotai, then nobody deserves reward. What's a Bedin? So he explained, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that when Pinehas came to Moshe, what does he tell him? He says, Rabbi Moshe, Alo limatanu beredetcha b'Sinai. You taught us when you came down from Sinai, you taught, Kol ha-bo'el aramit kana'im pog'im bo. What is he mentioning where he taught it? Beredetcha b'Sinai. When you came down from, that was the first halakha he taught? When he came down from Sinai, right away, Rabotai, breaking news, Kol ha-bo'el aramit kana'im pog'im bo. Okay, now let's go learn. Beredetcha b'Sinai. Why does he have to tell him, Halo li matanu beredetcha b'Sinai, Kol ha-bo'el aramit kana'im pog'im bo. His explanation is like this. What do you mean, beredetcha b'Sinai? You know, the Gemara Shabbat says that Moshe Rabbeinu did certain things on his own, and God agreed with him. Certain things he did on his own, without Hashem telling him. But Moshe Rabbeinu was so connected to the understanding of Ritzon Hashem that he doesn't have to be told. He knows what Hashem wants him without being told. Shavuot, he delayed Shavuot. Everybody said, when's Matan Torah? They looked at the Chumash, it says, Vav Sivan. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Jibra, I'm delaying it one day. You're delaying it one day. Delaying it one day is like, I don't know what you're delaying. It's like delaying, I don't know. You can't delay it, but Hashem agreed with him. What's the proof Hashem agreed with him? The next day, he came down at Har Sinai. God should have told Moshe, I told you yesterday's Matan Torah. You delayed it? Good luck. You give it to them now. I'm not coming down. One of the other things he did on his own, Moshe Rabbeinu, is Pidesh Me'ishto. When he came down from Har Sinai, he separated from his wife. Why did he separate from his wife? So the Gemara says he made a Kal V'Chomer. He said, here the Jewish people, they only spoke to God once at Har Sinai, and they had to separate from their wives for 3 days. Me, who am on call 24 hours a day, called Sheken Kal V'Chomer, Ben Benoshel Kal V'Chomer, then I have to be Poresh of my wife. That was Moshe's own Kal V'Chomer. And what happened? God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, after he comes down from Har Sinai, tell the people, Shuvu lachem la'aholechem, let everybody go home, ve'ata po amod imbadi, and you stay with me. There we see that God was maskeen with Moshe Rabbeinu, you stay with me, meaning don't go home. And that was based on the Kal V'Chomer of Moshe. Now Pinchas obviously saw this. Pinchas said, oh, look at this, Moshe Rabbeinu, why is he separating from his wife? Moshe Rabbeinu, Pinchas is smart, he's Bekeya. He's separating from his wife because he's got to be on call. He's got to be on call. So that must be also, by the way. If he's got to be on call, that means he's not allowed to be metameh for metim. Because if he's going to be metameh for a met, he's tameh. God cannot come along and... From the same Kal V'Chomer that he has to be prepared for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's talking. So they ask, how he took the bones of Yosef? They say, no, he was poteach tefach. He opened the tefach in order that the tumah goes up and down. He made a whole system like El Al. He carried it like El Al. So there's no tumah over there. But Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to be metameh lemetim for the same reason why he had to separate from his wife. The same Kal V'Chomer that he made, that he has to be on call. So he got, so therefore, Pinchas knew that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do this over here. He knew Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do this. He knew he had to be the one. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, you do it. When does Moshe ever give up a mitzvah? Yeah. When does Moshe ever give up a mitzvah? B'chavot. What does it mean, mitzvot? You grab the mitzvot. So he says, listen, when you came down from Sinai, you taught me this. Which means, you taught me when you came down from Sinai, when I saw you separate from your wife, that I know that you're not going to be able to do this over here. And you're not going to be able to do it. So therefore, I'm asking permission. The people came along and they said, look, this guy Pinchas, in front of his rabbi, he does an item like that. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes along and says, Bidin hu shiyekabel secharo. You know how the Gemara sometimes when it introduces a Kal V'Chomer? How does the Gemara introduce a Kal V'Chomer? Bidin hu. It starts off, Bidin hu. Umar. The word din in Gemara is a Kal V'Chomer. So the Mefarshim is saying, Bidin Shiyekabel. He understood from the Kal V'Chomer of Moshe Rabbeinu that Moshe cannot do it himself. Bidin hu Shiyekabel Secharo. And therefore there's no claim why he didn't go to Moshe Rabbeinu. He knew that Moshe Rabbeinu made the Kal V'Chomer. Umar, Klal Yisrael, only spoke to God once, that to separate for 3 days. Kal V'Chomer and me. And therefore I cannot become a Tameh. Therefore the Jews come along and say, who's this guy? Mebezimot. The guy sees his Rebbe there and he does it in front of his Rebbe. Nah, Bedinhu. He made the same Kal V'Chomer of Moshe Rabbeinu. Benetom Sinai. When he came from Sinai, he saw that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't doing this over. Therefore he understood that there's no avon in doing this. Fine. Now, let's read the Gemara for a minute. The Gemara here says, it's talking about over here, lo aleinu velo aleichem, if a person commits a deen of immorality. So here it says, uba'al bat el nechar. The bar minan, if a person is ba'al bat nechar, he goes with a goya. Ze habal akutit. Uba'al bat el nechar. What happens to such a person? Uchtiv batre. Yechre tashem la'ish asher ya'asena er ve'ona. Meluhei Yaakov magish mincha la'ashem sevaot. Im tamid hakam hu. If this guy who did, imagine that, if tamid hakam hu. If he's a tamid hakam that did this, lo yeh lo er b'hakamim ve'one b'talmidim. He's not going to have any more chokmah. He's going to lose his chokmah. He's not going to have students. He's not going to have a yeshiva. He's going to lose his whole career. Im kohenu lo yeh lo ben magish mincha la'ashem sevaot. And if he's a Kohen, he's not going to have a child that's going to be Ra'ui to serve. This Gemara over here tells us that there's consequences. Guy's Baal Bat Nechar finished. He's going to lose his whole stature. That's the result of it. Lo Yelo Ben Magish. We'll not have a child that's Magish. Now what happens over here? No, Bat Nechar. Baal Bat Nechar. Goy with a Goya. So the Gemara is to tell you, if the guy's a Tamir Hacham, he'll lose status. If he's a Kohen, he's not going to have children, not going to be that way for any you know, status, and so on and so forth. Then he loses his thing here. What do you mean? It's attached. So watch. What happens over here, Rabotai? Pinhas, Moshe Rabbeinu, are now witnessing this guy, Zimri, with Cosby. Cosby is the daughter of Balak, like we saw in Targum Yonatan. Now we know, Rabotai, we know that in Balak, he had inside of him a treasure. Who is the treasure that was inside of Balak? Ruth. Ruth would eventually come out of the descendants of Balak, which is ultimately Mashiach, which is the redemption. That's why you have to be very careful when you're dealing with Balak and his family. You can't kill them so fast. Not for them, but you can't kill them because of who's going to come out of them. You remember by Moshe Rabbeinu, before he killed the Egyptian, it says, Vayifen Kovako, Vayar Ki En Ish. Now, even though this guy, he had no problem to kill him, but he saw that nobody's going to come out of him, which means if he would have seen 50 generations, there would be one convert living in Miami that would come from this guy, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ifo. Vayifo, there's going to be one convert that's going to be in Boca Raton from this guy. And therefore leave him alone. But the guy's not going to live to 2019. Now we're living in the 3000. Leave the guy. For that convert in Boca, we can't touch the guy. So he saw even that the guy doesn't have. So there was an Enish. Enish. Boom. So he killed him. Now came over here Zimri. Zimri is going with who? The daughter of Balak. Yeah. The daughter of Balak. They got to be careful when it comes to the daughter of Balak. Because the daughter of Balak is the future of Mashiach, could be over here. Could be it's the future of Mashiach. At that point over there, Moshe Rabbeinu, Alav Shalom, the Mekubalim write, HaKadosh Baruch Hu closed Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, I cannot kill on the Safek. Moshe Rabbeinu that was able to see by the Egyptian, he wasn't able to see. So therefore he said, listen, Pinhas comes along and says, Rabbi Moshe, b'chavod. He says, I know I taught it to you, but I have a concern over here. All of a sudden the Pasuk says, Vayar Pinhas. Maze Vayar. In last week's Pasuk, Vayar Pinhas. He saw. Just like by Moshe Rabbeinu, what did it say? Vayar Ki En Ish. Over here it says, Vayar Pinhas. Pinhas already saw something. What did he see? He said, there's no way that Ruth can come from this. Because the Gemara said that anybody that's Baal Bat Nechar, there's not going to be any children, any good, any Ben, any... He said, cannot come from this relationship anything good. As a result of that, he said, I'm not worried. Ruth is not coming from over here. So Pinhas was taking a tremendous... And that's why the Shifatim of Bezimot said, you killed the Mashiach! What did you do over here? Did you get a heter? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't kill him. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't kill him because he was worried that maybe Ruth is coming from over here. And you come along and you destroy the Mashiach. Bezimot, what are you doing over here? And they come and tell Moshe Rabbeinu, God says, what's Biriti Shalom? So the Targum Yonatan says, you'll never die. And Pinhas morphs into Eliyahu HaNavi. And who's Eliyahu HaNavi? The precursor to Mashiach. So therefore, not only did he not stop the Mashiach from coming, He is the precursor for the Mashiach. We make him Eliyahu HaNavi to show Klal Yisrael. If he stopped the Mashiach, what did Eliyahu HaNavi for? If there's no Mashiach, there's no Eliyahu HaNavi also. He says he's going to be Eliyahu HaNavi that's going to announce the coming of the Mashiach. Klal says, shut up, keep quiet. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that Ruth was not going to come. Now, where did Ruth actually come from? Ruth came from Balak had a grandson. It was Ben Bito. He had another daughter. And that daughter had Eglon, Melech Moav. Exactly, Eglon. And Eglon's daughter was Ruth. So it comes out, you have Balak, Balak's daughter, Eglon, and Ruth is generation number four. We call that G4. That's why if you go to the Pasuk, and it says here, Vayar Pinehas. Remember I told you, it doesn't say what he saw? What's the ta'amim on Vayar?
Rabia.
What's Rabia?
Oh.
Four. Vayar, he saw the Rabia. He saw that Ruth is coming from the fourth generation, not from this Cosby over here, this girl over here, not going to have a Ben Mesharet or nothing, zero. So once he saw already that there's no problem of Mashiach getting compromised.
Where did it be?
On Vayar. Vayar, what did he see? Rabia. That's the Ta'amei Dekra. It's giving you the pshat of what the Vayar is. He saw the Rabia. And therefore, Vayar kom mitoch Edam, and he did what he did. Anyway, that's the first part of our parasha. And God rewards him and says, Hinenino tenot biriti shalom. Now, what is this biriti shalom? What is biriti shalom? So the Hatav Sofer says, biriti shalom? That's like we would call that the Nobel Peace Prize. The Nobel Peace Prize, he murdered Lavdil Alfei Havdalot. Yasser Arafat murdered, and he got the Nobel Peace Prize. In this country, you do that. Guy kills the biggest terrorist, and they come along and say, he deserves the Nobel Peace Prize. Why? Because one time he didn't murder. One time his hand was hurting him. He ran out of bullets. So he said, you know what? I'm not going to kill. Oh, see that? He didn't kill once. And they didn't tell that it was his mother that he didn't kill. So therefore, he refrained from killing his mother because he ran out of bullets. He said, okay, give him the Nobel Peace Prize. He's a Sadiq. Sadiq is Sadiq. So, which means we would have given Pinehas the Medal of Bravery, the purple, medal that the president gives for brave soldiers, the Purple Heart. Bring him to the White House. We'll make a sigula. We'll name a day after him, Pinehas Veterans Day, that he gets the purple. But to give him a peace prize for killing, you get peace prize. So you mean he made peace between the Satan and the Bnei Israel? I don't argue. But the pshat is like this. Pinehas ben Elazar ben Aaron Kohen. Klal Yisrael's claim was, even if you tell me he's the son of Aharon, okay, you want to tell me this came from Aharon, it didn't come from Yitro, because that was the claim of the people. I want Leshem Shamayim. His grandfather was a Baal Teshuvah, bringing Agalim in Rome, and now you tell me his grandson, such a Sadiq, that he's Leshem Shamayim. So no, don't look at it from his maternal side, look at it from the paternal side. So even, okay, look at it from the paternal side. Aharon was a man of peace. This is the Bidav Aharon. Man of peace. You expect Pinehas to go in with a white flag and say, Zimri, ya Habibi, let me talk to you, Ruh, ya Albi. Maybe you shouldn't go with Cosby. Mo'aib, you know who your father was. Shilum ibn Suri Shaddai, your father was a Sadiq and all that. You're a tribal leader. Maybe it's not proper. That's what you think he should do. That's what Aaron did. He would make peace. Instead, he says, I'm the grandson of Aaron. Rah, kill the guys. Grandson of Aaron. We don't know where you came from. So the Hatam Sofer says something unbelievable. And this is a big yesod. He said, Heve metamidav shel Aharon. Ohev shalom verodev shalom. There's two things here. There's an ohev shalom and there's a rodev shalom. It's not the same thing. You know what a rodev is? A rodev is when somebody's chasing you to kill you. We call him a rodev.
Hatam Sofer says that sometimes you have to run to make the peace. And sometimes you have to be rodef to shadow. You have to chase the peace away. The man of peace doesn't only mean, oh, peace. Sometimes you have to go to war to make peace. Sometimes, imagine if the Allies didn't go to war in World War II. And they would have came along and said, nah, in the name of peace, we're not going to go to war. Then Hitler would have taken over the whole world. So they went to war in order to make the peace. Sometimes you got to... So just to come along and be a pacifist and have a concept of, shalom. Yeah, but the community is going to pop. Maybe somebody should scream. I don't want to scream. Why? I don't want to upset rock the boat. People get upset. People might be a... Yeah, but it's spreading like wildfire. Somebody has to make a noise. Akam. Gadol shalom. Gadol shalom. There's not going to be a community to have shalom if you don't scream. So therefore, the leader sometimes has to be Ohev Shalom, and sometimes he has to be Rodef Shalom in order to make Shalom.
Wow.
Rodef Shalom. And that's what Shlomo David HaMelech says in Tehillim. Bakesh Shalom
Verodfehu.
Two different things. Bakesh Shalom, that's seek the peace, and sometimes Rodfehu. So therefore, Adrabab, Aharon HaKohen was both. Pinehas showed that he is a grandson of Aaron, not from the Ohev side, from the Rodef side. And therefore, and ultimately, like Gabe said, what happened? If he kills Zimri, God already was at peace with Klal Yisrael, only because he shook the peace temporarily. So therefore, it was Biritish Shalom is the greatest reward for him, because he was manifesting Shalom through the Rodef Shalom. So therefore, Rodef Shalom in the Tobriti Shalom. Because that was part of the same Midah. It's a two-sided coin, Shalom. So the prince shouldn't just say, nah, don't make noise. There's another explanation, based on Or HaHaim HaKadosh. The Or HaHaim HaKadosh in Sefer Devarim says something amazing on Biriti Shalom. He doesn't say it on Biriti Shalom, but we use this concept on Biriti Shalom. He says, Biriti Shalom. He says that there's an Iranidahat. What's the law of Iranidahat? That's a city that the majority of its inhabitants are worshipping Avodah Zarah. So what does the Torah say? You have to go into that city and you have to kill all the inhabitants of the city, the Fihadid. That's the Torah, because they worship Avodah Zarah. You have to, in Israel. A city in Israel, you have to destroy the whole city. To the extent the Gemara says that. And after you kill the city, you got to burn the whole city down. Mamash, you got to destroy the city. To the extent you can't even take a lulav from that city, because the Gemara says, Chatute mechtat shi'ura. Since the lulav is supposed to be burnt, it's considered as burnt already, and you're shaking ashes. You don't have a shi'ur. Ad kedei kach, ira nidah. So imagine, and who fought in the Jewish army? Not wise guys, Hilonim. In the old Jewish army, all the tzaddikim. When you used to join the Jewish army, they didn't measure your shootings, they measured your beard. If your beard came down to your belly buttons, okay, you can come to the army over here now. Before you went into the army, they would test you on shas. If the guy knows shas, okay, you could, but he doesn't hold the gun. Don't worry about holding a gun. Hashem will help you hold the gun. You just have to know that you have your Yirat Shamayim. That they would only take the creme de la creme of the tzaddikim to go fight the wars. Now imagine if you have a tzaddik, the guy never, he doesn't hit a fly. He doesn't hit a fly. If the fly comes on his Gemara, he's scared to even go like this because he doesn't want to mitzair Bala Hayim. The old picture of Elial Lopyam, the Rosh Hashiva, they see him giving milk to the cat. It's an old picture. They see him giving milk to the cat. He said, this cat over here was in the yeshiva. We brought him to get rid of the mice. So therefore, Hakarat HaTov used to every day give the milk to the cat. Himself, the Rosh Hashiva. Look how sensitive the tzaddikim are. Now you're going to tell the tzaddikim, go in, take the knife, and who are you killing? These are Jews you're killing. These are Jews. Go start killing all these Jews over here. One, two, three, four, five. Guy comes home from yeshiva, his wife says, how come you have blood all over your shirt? What happened today? Where were you? I thought you were learning. No, Moshe Rabbeinu said, we got to go kill Irinidahat. Irinidahat, they start showing these pictures. I killed this guy, that guy. Daddy said, the guy killed 100 people. The neighbor, forget about it. He brought him the heads like the moose. He put him on his wall. Why is the mantle? So the Or HaHaim HaKadosh says that it's a problem.
Because, you know, the first time you kill, you're a little nervous. But once you start getting used to killing, he says, it's molid a teva, where it becomes now something that's, you get a rush, you get an adrenaline, exactly. Golda Meir said that I can forgive I can forgive the Arabs for this and this, but I cannot forgive the Arabs what they did to our children. Which means they made our children now cruel.
Because we have to kill people now. So that I cannot forgive them for. Jews don't kill, but you're forcing us to kill now. So now all of a sudden the Israeli becomes a hardened guy, because that's why Israelis are hardened. Because all day long, they gotta kill people that are trying to kill them. So what ends up happening? You become a little tough. It's some natural. That I cannot forgive them for what they did to the nature of the children. And there's a point to that. But leave Lehabdil. Lord HaHaim HaKadosh says that he asked Arabs, he says, I spoke to Yishma'ilim that worked for the Sultan, and they used to behead people all day long. And Lord HaHaim asked them, what are you doing? He says, we love it. He says, after a certain, we can't wait. It's a hana'ah. It's like you're eating a steak, you had a hana'ah. You would think they do it, and they say, "Odi kapara hatan." They love it. They can't. It's molid a tevara. So the pasuk says by irani dahat that right after they kill all these people, the pasuk says, "V'natan necha rahamim v'richamcha." God says, "I will give you mercy." I will give you mercy. God promised that it will not be molid tevara. V'natan necha rahamim. That this murder, even though it's a regular murder like everything else, I guarantee you, you'll remain the same sensitive guy that you were. Not only that, v'natan lecha rahamim, you're going to even be more sensitive than you were before. It's going to be molid rahamim. Unbelievable. So now what happened? Pinchas is sadiq yisod olam. Pinchas is sadiq yisod olam. He wants to kill. The last thing he wants to do is kill. And if anything, he thought that when he was going to kill, he's going to die. So good. Even if it's molid ra, I'm not going to be alive anyway. So therefore, he said, what's the difference? Now, all of a sudden, to Pinchas' chagrin, he survived it. He survived it. He said, I survived it. Now, already I didn't kill one. I killed two in such a way. So he was worried that maybe it's going to be molid now. A tevara. Lachen emor, hinini noteno driti shalom. That this action is only going to lead to the shalom. It's not going to lead to tevara. Now it's not going to lead to tevara. It's going to lead to teva tov, and therefore Pinchas is going to be upgraded to become a kohen. Normally the halakha says, kohen sharag et nefesh, it's asur for him to serve. Kohen sharag et nefesh is asur. He killed two nefeshot. Doesn't matter. This was not a regular harigah. No, the negative effects of what normal harigah will bring will not apply to Pinchas. Adkan. Baruch Amen.